WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. There's been little movement in the auto workers' strike. The union says the walkout could get bigger. Here's correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
United auto workers leaders have set a Friday noon deadline for automakers to beef up their offers or more plant strikes will kick in. Ford says it continues to negotiate with the union. Stellantis worker Kurt Kruger in Ohio says he'd like to see a fair wage structure for his newer co-workers.
Right now, it's just not fair that they're working next to people that are making twice as much as them.
Meantime, Ford of Canada and the union there, Unifor, says they've reached a tentative agreement that has to be ratified by 5,600 union members. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
There hasn't been much, if any, progress in the four-month-long Writers Guild strike against Hollywood studios either, but negotiations are expected to resume later today. KCBS TV's Tina Patel.
Many writers say they have mixed emotions. Some are feeling optimistic, hopeful that the studios are finally willing to negotiate in good faith, but some others say they've been burned before, so they're just going to wait and see if the studios will actually offer a better contract that they say respects what they bring to the entertainment industry.
Federal Reserve officials wrap up their two-day policy meeting today with inflation at the top of the to-do list. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says they may decide to hold interest rates steady.
At the very least, pausing before the last two meetings of the year will give the Federal Reserve more information as its decision-making process continues.
An anti-affirmative action group is suing West Point over its admissions policy. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
This group called Students for Fair Admission says the Supreme Court ruling against affirmative action should apply to military academies as well. This suit contends West Point focuses on race and admissions and therefore violates the Fifth Amendment for equal protection. Proponents have argued the military needs to have a diverse officer corps to reflect enlisted troops.
Sacramento County's district attorney is suing the city of Sacramento for failing to clean up homeless encampments. This is DA Tin Ho.
This is about public safety. And when somebody says it's about politics, the reason why they're saying that is to distract attention away from their failure.
Ho says he wants the city to be held accountable. Police are investigating the death of a man who witnesses say was punched in the head twice during Sunday night's Miami Dolphins-New England Patriots game in Foxborough, Massachusetts. This fan was sitting nearby.
Kind of immediately, the way the guy slumped over, the whole mood changed. It was definitely, I think everybody around knew something was wrong, and we had just witnessed something we all didn't want to see.
From Wall Street, S&P futures are up 9, Dow futures up 77. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
7:06 now on this Wednesday, September 20th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Breitlow. This Wednesday, September 20th, is National Queso Day. It's National String Cheese Day. It's National Fried Rice Day. It's also National Care for Kids Day. A successful community is one that provides health care, education, and emotional care to its children, says the note on National Care for Kids Day. Well, can't help but note that there is supposed to be a special session of the legislature today, called several weeks ago by Governor Tony Evers, and caring for kids was at the very heart of that, making sure that child care can continue to be accessible and affordable and of high quality. It appears that Republicans running the legislature today will do what they've done a dozen times in the past, and that is to treat it with the highest amount of disrespect possible by not even bothering to take seriously the issues that are facing Wisconsin families and businesses. They will gavel the special session in because they have to. The governor called it, so they have to. And then they will gavel it right back out within seconds. They won't discuss the topic. They won't debate the topic. They won't propose any bills that could do something about the serious issues facing Wisconsin. They basically will just give Tony Evers a big middle finger, the same one that they're doing to Wisconsin families who have been inundating legislators, pleading with them to do something about child care. And while they're at it, focus on a middle-class tax cut and doing things with a record multi-billion dollar budget surplus that don't just involve sending a lot of that money to the highest tax brackets for tax cuts for the very rich. And that probably won't happen today on this National Care for Kids Day. So what can you do about it? Well, that takes us to our topic this hour, National Voter Registration Day. It was yesterday, but the whole week is marked with activities designed to support what really is about the most nonpartisan act of civic engagement out there, registering to vote. So you're not voting yet, you're not picking a party, you're not picking a candidate, but there are still so many Americans who are not registered to vote and don't take part in the process. And so there's going to be a lot of messaging this week about taking part in that process, taking part in democracy, taking part in choosing the leaders who will or will not take seriously the concerns of families and businesses and the economy and our natural resources and more. So we're going to talk to two different groups coming up this hour. We're going to first hear from somebody with the group Leaders Igniting Transformation. And then at the bottom of the hour, we will talk to people from the group All Voting is Local. So all of that is coming up. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789 is the phone number here. If you are heading out and about and you haven't done so yet, please take good care, because there is a good deal of patchy, dense fog across central Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin, portions of northeast and east central Wisconsin this morning. So you could be driving just fine one moment and then have a huge reduction in visibility the next, and that can lead to some real hazards. So where the fog does develop, visibilities are expected to improve a couple of hours after sunrise, but do use caution along your morning commute today. 7 a.m. temperatures include 55 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Madison's in at 60. A lot of temps have dropped a degree or two or three since last hour, probably with the fog developing. Waukesha at 57, La Crosse 59. Wausau's at 57 degrees, Wisconsin Rapids 52, Green Bay 52, and Hayward at 57 degrees. If you are a subscriber to the Up North News Daily Newsletter, then you know that we have several items in there worth sharing today, and you can subscribe to that at upnorthnewswi.com. But you can also look for the social media posts we do over at Up North News on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. Among the posts that we put up in the past 24 hours or so includes something we discussed here on the program yesterday, where you can read Congressman Mark Pocan's description of Congressman Derek Van Orden's late-night profanity-filled tirade against teenage interns from the U.S. Senate who are simply trying to enjoy the Capitol Rotunda. But then Derek Van Orden, who came from his office with other friends, there were photographed many bottles of alcohol in there, but we can't really comment as to Derek Van Orden's exact condition, but the profanity-filled tirade might have provided a hint or two. But we're not going to see the tape because of concern that Van Orden and Trump supporters will then target the kids who are in that tape. So Congressman Pocan describes it, and you can read that in a post on our Facebook page. We're also reminded in a post that the University of Wisconsin women's volleyball team is number one in the country. We already knew that. Did you know the hockey team is also number one in the country? So two number one teams in the nation for women's sports. Also a note from the hometown brewery here from Leinenkugel's that Liney's Red is back, and that makes me very happy. And Selena Heller gives us an update on the giant pumpkins that are being grown around Black River Falls, and shows we've kind of done the before. Now we're going to see the after. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, Leaders Igniting Transformation is one of the groups that is working to encourage people to get registered to vote. We'll talk to a member of that group next. Wherever you're listening, from all across the Civic Media Radio Network, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums, 42nd Street got Big Jim, a walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun.
Let's take a look at the sports here at 7:50. William Contreras homered and Tyrone Taylor scored twice and drove in a run as the Brewers beat the Cardinals last night 7-3. Milwaukee stopped a two-game losing skid and reduced its magic number to 6 to clinch the National League Central Division. The Brewers now hold a 6-game lead over the Chicago Cubs with 11 to play. The win, by the way, was... who was it? It was number 700. Yeah, for Craig Counsell, manager who's now managed and won more games in Brewers history than in any other manager in that 7-3 victory. The series against the Cardinals continues in St. Louis tonight with Adrian Hauser on the mound. You can catch that at News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450, and Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. All right, let's turn now to meteorologist Michael Cairo from Weatherology, who joins us to tell us about the forecast. I mentioned just a minute ago a lot of the patchy fog in the area, but then, you know, once that lifts, let's see what kind of a day is developing. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you. And yeah, it's going to be pretty mild out there, especially for this time of year, as we did have a warm frontal boundary work up from the southwest overnight. So for much of the state here for today, highs well into the upper 70s and even some lower 80s, not out of the question. Whereas this time of year, we should be closer to the upper 60s and lower 70s as far as those average high temperatures. As some weak upper level energy continues to linger across the region, there's a very slight chance for some spotty shower or thunder shower activity, mainly across the southern half of the state from about the Wisconsin Dells over to near Fond du Lac and points off to the south from there for today, but still looking to stay pretty hit or miss in nature as far as that rainfall for southern Wisconsin. Again, that's warmer than average here for today. And then for tonight, a few spotty light showers still a possibility across far southern Wisconsin, with those overnight low temperatures dropping back into the 50s for most of the state, though we could see some lower 60s across the southeast. Then into the day on Thursday, still warmer than average for this time of year, upper 70s, close to 80 degree readings for many locations. A very slight chance for an isolated shower or thunder shower popping up mainly into the afternoon time frame from about Madison up to near Wausau for Thursday, but still the majority of the state looking to stay dry. By the time we get to your Friday, some hit or miss type shower and thunder shower chances, but even they're not expecting an all day rain event. Friday continuing that above average stretch of temperatures, highs close to the mid 70s for Wausau, Eau Claire upper 70s, and upper 70s close to 80 degree readings for Madison as well as Oshkosh there on Friday. And that upcoming weekend forecast, still expecting 70s for highs for most of the state. Saturday, it looks like the better chance for some scattered shower activity will be especially across western portions of Wisconsin. And into the day on Sunday, again, the better chance for rain, especially for western portions of the state.
All right. Gives everybody a chance here at midweek to get set for making any weekend plans. Michael Cairo from Weatherology, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Let's get back to our topic at hand for this hour, and that deals with registering to vote, which, again, as I've said before, that is a decidedly nonpartisan thing to do, to be able to just take part in democracy. And it's not just something that, you know, a candidate mentions or a political party mentions. There are nonprofit groups throughout America that are working this week to encourage people to register to vote. And so to learn more about that, we're going to talk to Funi Olorunfemi from the group Leaders Igniting Transformation, one of the many groups working on activities for this National Voter Registration Day. Funi, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Uh, So let's start first with Leaders Igniting Transformation, one of all the many groups out there working on these efforts. Tell us a bit about that group.
So Leaders Igniting Transformation is a Black, and values-led organization. And we organize young people to build, independent political power for social, racial, and economic justice. So what this looks like is that we work with high school students. We have several chapters across MPS. We work with at UWM campuses. And we work in communities of colors across Wisconsin.
And in doing so, again, I would like to think that this is about empowerment, because there's a lot that is said when it comes, when we talk about racial justice, when we talk about social justice. There's a lot that's said about, for example, protesting or speaking out. But voting is about as key an issue as it gets for this, right?
I feel like the essence of voting is something that cannot be overemphasized, because if you don't vote, I don't believe you really end the right to complain, because you have not tried to make things better. You have not tried to air your views, right? So you should vote, because as an American, eligible American citizen, it is your right to vote, and it is one way to be involved. It is a way to be involved and to be informed of, happenings in your communities. That is a way to actually make change happen.
And I think that it's so important that we hear a diversity of voices in favor of democracy, not just from people who have, lived in one zip code somewhere in the U.S. their whole lives, but people who are aware of or have been exposed to the many places where democracy turned out not to be fragile, but easily, somewhat easily disassembled. And, Fumi, as we look across, whether it's, Hungary in Europe, there are African nations and elsewhere where they once had more democracy, more freedom than they have now. And I feel like we don't talk about that enough in this country, that democracy really does depend on people getting registered and voting and taking nothing for granted, right?
Of course, we've seen this slew of coup that's been happening in Africa, right? So it just shows, when we don't vote, it's very possible that mayhem happens. So you should, really get registered to vote. Because if you don't vote, then what's the alternative? What are we going to do? So we need every young people, Black and brown people, everybody from all communities to go out en masse and go vote. And that's what we are trying to do this entire week. As you said earlier, this week is National Voters Registration Week. So organizations across 50 states, United States, are trying to get people to vote, get excitement, get out information about people and getting them, giving them the information about what they need to do to vote. So that's what we are doing this entire week. And at LEAD, we are also doing the same. We've been out all week. We've been to high schools. We've been to communities. We've been literally everywhere trying to get people and assist them to vote.
And you have an event, at least one event today that's going on?
Yes, we do. So we actually have an event today at our Zocalo Food Park, and it's going to be by 4 p.m. It's going to be by 4 p.m. today. There's going to be a DJ. There's going to be food trucks where people can buy food. It's going to be fun. We are going to be assisting people with their voter registration. So please, come everybody and get registered to vote. Also, we have an event tomorrow at, LA Food Mart, Food Marts. Tomorrow, we are going to be there all day. Come out. We'll help you with your voter registration. We'll lead you to the right websites where you can get all the information that you need. My vote.wisconsin.gov, that's where you can get all the information you need. And that is where you can register to vote. So we'll be there today from 4 p.m. at Zocalo Food Park, and tomorrow at Elway Food Mart.
And Leaders Igniting Transformation has been sponsoring other events around the state this week. For the most part, in some of these campuses, like at UW-Eau Claire and at UW-Stout,
Yes. They've
been essentially just what's called tabling, where it's somebody from the group at a table encouraging people to register, guiding them through the process, rather than a larger scale event. But the message is very important. And so, Fumi, as you talk to young people who have seen years in their young lives of political division and debate, and I know with great certainty that when you talk to people about registering to vote, young people, they say, why should I bother? It's so negative. It's so divisive. I don't want to get caught up in it. What is that message to college students and to young adults about why they should not let the current division and cynicism keep them from getting registered to vote?
Of course, the message that I usually try to pass across is that their vote matters. Truly, some people think that their votes do not matter, but, you know, I talk to them, we talk to them as leader, to convince them about why their vote matters. And why their vote matters is because, you know, every vote counts, right? So that is why it matters. That singular vote you're going to cast matters and, you know, can sway things. And as a community that serves, as an organization that serves communities of color, you know, historically, Black and brown people usually do not, you know, have a lot of barriers to voting, right? So that's one of the things we are trying to do at LEAD, is to make sure that, you know, we provide all the information that people require, you know, to vote. For example, you know, people need to present their IDs to vote. They need to be an American citizen to vote. You know, all the information that is near that they will require to vote. That is what we always try to provide. And, you know, sometimes when the elections are near, we send them information about, you know, getting to their polling stations, about, you know, reaching out to their municipal clerks. You know, we do all of those work and just, like, you know, try to create that, trying to remove barriers by providing information and help to young people, Black and brown young people, and generally young people that should get out to vote. And I must say that, you know, in my experience this week, young people have been really excited about voting. They are excited to turn to, some say, oh, I can't really start to vote now. I can only vote when I'm 18. And that's fine. Next year, when you're 18, you can vote, and you can see the excitement on their faces. A lot of people that I've spoken with are very, very interested in voting, and I cannot wait to vote. And a lot of people are getting registered right now. They're updating their addresses. Updating their addresses, getting their IDs, you know, getting their IDs and making sure that they are ready and set to go. And I cannot lie, that really, really excites me.
And it notes on the LIT website, and by the way, that website is litwi.org. Again, litwi.org for Leaders Igniting Transformation. You notice on the website, it talks about the freedom to thrive. And that's really what this is about for young people. They have seen the structural racism. They have seen the violence. They have seen the lack of opportunities. They have seen some truly hateful things coming from people in elected positions. And they're understanding and appreciating that the freedom to thrive only comes when you exercise your right to vote and choose who these leaders are. There really does seem to be a palpable, if not excitement, certainly an understanding by young people, more so than my generation, of why it's important to become a voter from as young an age as you're eligible.
Of course, young people. Of course, you know. Initially, there was this understanding, there was this belief that young people's vote do not count. But look at the start from the elections here this year. Look at how much numbers the young people are bringing in. Of course, voting ensures that, you know, young people can thrive, because then they're able to put people that care about the issues that they care about, right? So, like, freedom to thrive involves you, like, getting out, you know, to elect candidates and officials that matter to you, that matters to what that care about the issues that you also care about. So, of course, as a young person, it is very, very important, I would say again, to get out to vote. Even older people, just go out and vote. That's a message you're sending. Just go out and vote. Just go out and vote. And if you need any help, you know, please feel free to check out the website, myvote.wisconsin.gov. Get all the information there. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations that do different things around, you know, around going out to vote. You know, we have, you know, source to the polls, people to the polls that assist people that cannot get to their police station. So everything is literally ready to vote, for people to go out to vote. So that's just our message there at LEAD. As a Black person, as a brown person, it is very important that you go out, you know, to vote and register to vote ahead of time.
That's right. No excuse not to take care of advantage of these opportunities. Funi Oluwafemi, thank you very much for telling us about Leaders Igniting Transformation and the activities that are going on this week. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll learn more from the group All Voting is Local about some of the things that are going on. Again, and in this case, making sure that you can overcome some of the barriers that people are putting up to voting in Wisconsin. Back after this, you're up north.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. With little movement of the auto workers' strike, some union members say they want more information on negotiations. Kurt Kruger works at the Stellantis plant in Toledo.
We want to know what's happening with the other plants. We want promises, too, on transferring over to EV. So we don't want to be left behind in that.
More than 4 months into the writers' strike against Hollywood studios, contract talks are set to resume in a few hours. Los Angeles Times senior entertainment writer Meg James.
The studios have tremendous leverage. They obviously are the ones that write the checks, but the writers have really held out longer than people than expected. They have displayed remarkable solidarity.
CBS News correspondent Jared Hill tells us climate change is top of mind at the UN today.
World leaders at the United Nations General Assembly will hold a climate action summit today, just weeks after the UN declared this summer the hottest on record.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
This cardboard order, is it up to date?
Camila's recyclable coffee cup factory can no longer be considered a grande.
Redesign, it's at the printer.
She needs more designers to jump the business to a triple shot.
The client wants to see several more design options. The logo's gotta be bigger.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five
minutes.
It was
a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are back now on Up North News Radio, and we are noting that September is Voter Registration Month. Obviously, if you've heard this show for more than 8 seconds, you know that we have talked a lot about increasing the civic engagement of folks in Wisconsin. And there's no higher form of that than voting. Can't do that unless you get registered. So other things to do, you can run for office, you can volunteer, you can do all kinds of things. But it really does start with voting, and we are very pleased to have a couple of guests from both the national and state level from the group All Voting is Local. Hannah Fried is here, the executive director, as well as Sam Liebert, who's the Wisconsin state director. Hannah and Sam, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
It
It is great to have you here. Hannah, can you give us an overview of All Voting is Local, how it got started, what it does?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So we've been around for about 5.5 years. And the work that we do is focused on expanding access to registration and to voting and making sure every vote counts by working with and calling on state and local officials to ensure that they do everything in their power to make voting and registration more accessible, particularly for communities of color, Black and brown voters, Native American voters, students, others who've been historically disenfranchised. And we do that work in 8 states, and one of them is Wisconsin.
Well, of course you have to do it in Wisconsin, because there, I would dare say, if you made a top 10 list of places where people are actively trying to make it harder to vote, it would be hard not to put Wisconsin on there, Sam. So you have no small role there. Tell me about the day-to-day goings-on of All Voting is Local from a Wisconsin standpoint.
Sure. So Wisconsin has been and continues to be at the center of discussions regarding elections in our country. And I agree with you, Pat. I mean, I think Wisconsin is the most important place in the world. As such, we're in a position to lead by example on how elections can and should be conducted in a fair and equitable manner. We believe that all voters have a right to safely and securely cast a ballot and have confidence that the vote will be counted. And so, unfortunately, due to sort of this big lie that sort of just continues to linger, especially here in Wisconsin, we're working to ensure that in 2024, the elections are not overshadowed by misinformation, disinformation, and potential bad faith actors.
And that, for us, we've been talking about this for the longest time in terms of restrictions on voting, trying to purge the voter rolls, eliminating drop boxes. But Hannah, we're now in a new phase of essentially voter suppression in terms of outright voter nullification. Sure, you can go vote, but if we don't like the results, we can impeach somebody or we can fire somebody. That, even for as much as you've worked in this, Hannah, that has to strike you as troubling.
It is, and it does. And I'm glad you started where you did, which is that, this we've always seen, since this country's founding, right, we have seen efforts to kind of manipulate the systems that we use to administer our elections, to run our elections, to keep some people in and push some people out. And I think you're absolutely right to see it as part of that kind of arc. And we are now in a moment that I agree is different. I've been doing this work off and on for about 15 years, and it looks different, right? You mentioned, impeachment, of election of state officials, of local officials, there is that. But there's also efforts to throw out validly cast votes, to delay the reporting of election results. It's sort of dressed up in different clothing, but it comes from the very same place that strict photo ID laws do, from cuts to early vote. All of this is about grabbing power from the people who are supposed to have it by kind of changing the rules and manipulating the rules. And we're certainly seeing that in Wisconsin, and we're seeing that in all the states where we work.
You study this more than I do, so you're in a position to correct me, and I don't know where I saw it, but it certainly seems that there is no developed country that has a significant share of its political class working so hard to deny other people the right to vote rather than expand the right to vote. There's a class of countries that have anything from autocrats to dictators, and then you have the developed countries. And I have to believe, sad as this is, Hannah, that we're probably near the bottom of that list of developed countries in terms of people acting in bad faith about voting rights.
Well, I would say that we are seeing some of the same issues that, are happening in this country replicated in other places. We had January 6th here, and then we saw similar efforts unfold in Brazil, for example. So yeah, we are part of, I would say, a global trend. I think the way that I think about it has evolved over the years. I used to think of us as a being a democracy that we are trying to perfect. I think I have more recently come to see us as, you know, a very, very new democracy that is still kind of getting its sea legs. And I say that because, you know, if we think about the ability of people in this country to vote, right, there were whole communities of people, Black voters, women, Native American voters who did not have access to, who were unable to vote, who were legally unable to vote until just, you know, a few decades ago in some cases, right? And so, you know, I think that this moment that we're in has forced us to reckon with our identity as a democracy. And I think it has, I think there are many people in this country who would say, look, I've known this my entire life and my community has known it as long as we've been here. But I think it this moment has forced us to, as a country, stare at these threats straight in the face. And frankly, I don't always like what I see.
Sam, from a Wisconsin standpoint, obviously you bring a general message to everybody, but there are, I would imagine, particular groups that you work with more frequently, either because they are being targeted or because maybe their voter turnout numbers, you know, aren't as high as they could be. Tell me about the priorities from a Wisconsin standpoint when you slice up the electorate. Who really needs to hear a message that encourages voting rights and voting registration?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's you're kind of telling me to choose my favorite child, and yes. I'm actually a third time father as of 5 months ago. So I love all of them equally. You know, I think, like Hannah said, I mean, you know, there are these historically disenfranchised groups who have at some points never had their voices heard, and now they do. You know, we'll take for example within this past year. I mean, we had Bob Spindell, who is one of the Republican appointees on the Bipartisan Election Commission, who openly bragged about the GOP's efforts in this past election that voter turnout was lower amongst Black and brown people in Milwaukee. And so being an African American myself and hearing that, you know, it was very hurtful, but also very motivating to remind people we work closely with Milwaukee groups. Block is one of them, about encouraging everyone to get out to vote. Again, all voting is local is nonpartisan, and we strongly believe that when more people vote, we just have a more representative democracy. And so there is that. There's also our college campuses. This past election, we saw very high turnout in the April election for the Supreme Court race. And on many campuses, we saw very long lines at the campus wards. And it was due to maybe not having enough machines, not enough poll workers. And so these are groups that we always continue to support any way we can. But we also work in rural areas. I mean, I think when the average rural Wisconsinite has a easier time to vote as well, you know, that's a win for everybody. But you know, there's these historically disenfranchised groups who have a tougher time than maybe you or I.
You have a rural population that hurts when you eliminate drop boxes. You have a college age population where, yeah, the lines were long, and yet their version of Bob Spindell would be Cleta Mitchell, who is telling Republican donors that we need to do more, they say, to make it harder for college students to vote, which seems to me the one group of new adult citizens you would want most to encourage to vote and to try to win over, rather than suppress that. And so to that extent, Sam, I'll start with you this time. What kinds of activities will you be engaged in, not just for, you know, college voters, but rural voters, voters overall? What kinds of things are you doing between now and November of 2024, for example?
Well, we work closely with a lot of coalition partners in this space. One of them is the Campus Vote Project. And they work at the campus level to hire college students to work and organize with other college students to get them to vote, to lobby their local municipal clerk to have a polling location on campus if they don't already, and to also to recruit college students to serve as poll workers. All voting is local action. On our other side, we are lobbying the legislature to increase funding for municipalities to purchase the e-poll books. They're called Badger books here in Wisconsin. And those really help with the check-in process. They help the average voter. It takes about a minute to show your ID, state your name and address, and get a ballot, as opposed to having paper e-poll books. And so we're doing everything we can at the local level, and also things that we can do to support our municipal clerks. Full disclosure, I'm a former municipal clerk of 5 or 6 years, and so I know the struggles that my fellow clerks go through. And anything we can do to make the administration of elections faster and quicker only helps the voters. And then I think it also, you know, ensues more confidence in the system.
Because they are just heroes. There's no two other ways of looking about it. Hanna, last question to you then, from your group's perspective and then for all of us, what does a pro-voter agenda look like when talking to elected officials? Once we get past the X's and O's of any given election, if we're just talking about a pro-voter agenda for the country and for our state, what should we be pursuing?
Yeah. Well, you know, you heard about some of it from Sam, right? I mean, at All Voting's Local, we are all about common sense reforms, right? We know what works and we know what voters like, right? That means easy access to voter registration systems that are secure, that work well. If there's a website, you go to it, it works, you know you're registered. Common sense reforms like access to vote by mail without kind of unnecessary hurdles, you know, a state like Wisconsin, which currently doesn't have ballot return drop boxes, right? We know voters like to use them. Let's bring them back, right? Voting in person, right? We don't want people waiting in lines to vote, right? Sam was talking about some of the ways we're trying to help address that in Wisconsin. People should be able to get to their polling place easily, be able to get in and get out. And finally, we want to make sure every vote is going to count, right? And that our states have policies that allow for election officials to count votes transparently and quickly. You know, we're seeing all around the country, counties trying to change the rules for how they count their ballots in ways that just make no sense. We know what works. Let's stick with it. And let's make sure that these hardworking election officials that you just referred to are funded to do their jobs. That's the kind of stuff we're looking for all across the country. We know what works. We know what these voters like. We've seen it every year. People like to vote conveniently. They like to vote easily. They want to vote securely. They want to know their vote's going to count. And we have all the tools in place to make that happen. We just need to not let these kind of conspiracy theories, disinformation get in the way of simple and common sense reform.
For some reason, the number is not 100% of Americans who are on Team Democracy. So it's always nice to meet a couple who are doing a lot for the team. Thank you so much. Hanna Fried, the executive director of All Voting is Local, and Sam Liebert, the state director for Wisconsin for All Voting is Local. We appreciate it so much. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
And it's worth mentioning again, the website to go to if you don't need to work through a group, you don't see somebody with a clipboard, you just want to DIY this thing, you go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov, put in your name, put in your date of birth, you'll find out your registration status if you're not registered, you'll find out what it takes to get registered, maybe be able to do so right online, or maybe have to go down to your local clerk's office. A small chore to help continue to defend democracy in a way we didn't think we'd have to in our lifetimes. But unfortunately, we do. And that's why we're so annoying with this push to make sure that people take nothing for granted and go vote. Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show is scheduled to come up next. You're up north. 'Cause I got them steady depression, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash booth.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 84 for a high this afternoon. The wind from the south at 5 to 15. And we do have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thundershower late this afternoon into this evening. Maybe one or two here across the region, but that's it. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, sunshine, 81. We are tracking a system that could bring measurable rain by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
At last dawn, there was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
This is the point of the program where we check in with the cable guy, Todd Alba, to see if he's still getting 57 channels at home or zero.
Zero.
How many bits per second you're getting? How you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. How about yourself?
Okay. Oh my goodness, you're not getting sick again, are you?
Well, no. I went to a wedding out in Denver last weekend.
Oh, that's
this
right.
Past yes. weekend, and I'm not as sick as I was before, but all the ear stuff is still going on. So, you know.
Oh my goodness.
That's the way it is.
Feel better soon, man.
Thanks.
Come on. It's perfect. It's a beautiful time of year.
It is my favorite time of year.
So the wedding went well. Sounds like a beautiful setup there in Colorado.
It
for
was
a destination
my friend,
wedding.
My friend Joe and Rachel were very intimate setting. Only about 55 people. How I made the cut, I have no idea. But but I was there, and I was talking to another friend last night, and I said, the wedding was the service was outside of this big lodge, I'll call it, and then the food. Actually, Rachel is from. She probably has family listening in. Maybe she's from Chippewa Falls. So Rachel McDonald married Joe Berkland, and so Rachel's from Chippewa Falls, and she one of her friends, who's a chef from the Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area. He came out and he cooked like the entire weekend, and it was fantastic. So it was a very small, intimate setting. And we just hung out, and they spent their money on this lodge to bring their closest friends and family together. And it was a great reminder that at the end of the day, work and cars and material things and money and all this stuff we get caught up in, it all comes down to the relationships that you have with your friends and family, right? People that you care the most about. So it was a great reminder out in the beautiful wilderness of Colorado to just remember what's important.
That's great. We did that for our older daughter. Basically took over kind of a small lodge, right in the shadow of the Tetons. And
oh, wow.
I mean, it was just picturesque and small. And yeah, it sounds great. Well, that's what did you drive?
No, I considered it. I was, but I got a great ticket for like $200 out of Madison to Denver.
Oh, okay.
So and not on Spirit.
Well, good on you.
Right. Nothing wrong. I've flown it myself several times.
I know. Quick note again, Brewers beat the Cardinals 7-3. Craig Counsell gets his 700th win as a manager. The number is now down to 6, the magic number for clinching the division. And I'm going to say, much like I would say with the Packers, mm-hmm. I think in both cases I have a much better attitude. We're just going to enjoy it. I'm not. The Brewers have had a successful run, but nobody's picking them to win the World Series. Nobody's picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl. So just enjoy the ride. That's what I'm trying to do here.
I agree 100%. Craig Counsell becoming the winningest manager in Brewer history. Last night, when you think about that, right? I mean, you and I are old enough to remember George Bamberger and some of these guys that went to the World Series. But Craig Counsell seems like I've never met him, but I've heard he's a great person, a great guy. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything to these rumors? I've heard via the internet. That's very dangerous. He's thinking about taking a year off next year to be with his kids, basically, like, because his kids are in high school and maybe a freshman in college, and considering taking a year off to be with them.
Well, this is his ninth season, and so that would certainly be understandable. I know as well, people wonder, would he follow David Stearns going out to the, you know, to the New York Mets, or, you know, want to do something else? Has he done all that he wants to do here? Is he ready for a change of scenery that way? All of it, of course, is speculative. And again, to say, rather than get worked up, it's like, you know, if he goes, we thank him for, you know, really turning the franchise around. You now have an expectation that you will be at least in contention for the playoffs, not another year of, you know, mediocrity. Yep. So, you know, I feel like we're in a really good place. I'd feel better about it if I knew the Brewers were going to stay for, say, another 30 years or something like that. But now I've said before, I've got a lengthy editorial / analysis that looks at the competing plans for the stadium. Mm-hmm. Find it over at upnorthnewswi.com, where, again, I think there are some solid components of the Republican proposal. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there is a downright childish but not unexpected facet to this plan of the old stick it to Milwaukee, you know, and don't ask the suburbs to pay up anything. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think there's room to make a deal here, again, without getting bogged down into the greater debate of, you know, should we be funding millionaires and stadiums and ballparks? I'm saying that if there is a deal to be had, the makings are out there, I think.
I agree. And at the end of the day, I think that Wisconsin's taxpayers and our economy and everything else is better off with Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin than not. And mm-hmm. and the whole thing of, well, you know, we'll just let them go somewhere else and somebody else will come here. Well, no, they probably won't. I mean, that's just, well, whether we like that or not, that's the way that the world works now, particularly in sports. And I agree with you, Pat. I hope, I wish, and I hope that everyone sits down at the table and figures out how to get this done what's best for the entire state of Wisconsin in terms of tourism dollars and everything else. So I agree. But here's the question I have. Well, the question for you is that it seems like the last couple of weeks, Republicans have got the better headlines. And I blame part of this on young reporters who are overworked and don't have, aren't given their time to do the research. But the headline was, quote unquote, Republicans reach a deal with Milwaukee Brewers. Completely icing out. I mean, you know, and then the Republicans proposed bipartisan redistricting plan. There's no history. There's no context. And I think that's unfortunate for listeners, viewers, and readers.
That's the thing, the lack of context that comes from the lack of experience, because, you know, old reporters eventually move on to something that is a bit more lucrative, or they go into, you know, like this guy did, went into politics and now is doing political media. And I think that's where we try to let people know to seek out media outlets like Civic Media, like Up North News, people like you, people like me who have experience and can give perspective to these things. But when you're just depending on low paid, low experience local reporters, you know, not just in Wisconsin, but any place else, Republicans know how to play this game. There's been more times than I can count that instead of doing a press conference in the Senate or the Assembly parlor, they go around the state and they hit six media markets and six different TV stations all give them pretty much, they spoon feed, you know, what the news is going to be with no perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I'm not trying to attack reporters themselves. My issue is, seen this at the Capitol, is that editors, media companies don't give their reporters the time to do the research. Right. And they have like five deadlines in 8 hours.
Yes, because not only are you getting the TV version done, but the Facebook version done, and maybe you're putting a little thing on Instagram. Yep. We're putting more demands than ever on local reporters and getting much less for it. Last thing, are you doing anything special today? It's a big day down there. Special session. They're going to come in and solve child care. They're going to come up with a middle class tax cut. It's going to be the greatest special session ever. And I mean, I thought you'd be in a tuxedo or something. Wait, I'm being told it's going to last 8 seconds, the special session. So
sounds like my last date, but anyway. That's you're probably right. You're probably absolutely right. I mean, it's pomp and circumstance. I mean, I applaud the governor in one way to do this, but to make it sound like, oh my gosh, this proves Republican. I mean, you know it, Pat. It's smoke and mirrors. It's not real.
It's not. And we're going to have a lot more to say about that tomorrow on both of our shows. You again this afternoon, coming up at 1 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you all for being with us today. Again, look for Up North News WI on social media. Follow me on Facebook at Pat Kreitlow Up North or on Twitter at Pat Kreitlow. Tomorrow, Hometown Health and Joe Sopecki. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes. And allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.